My name is Dean Usher. I've taken half my time in the introduction. We haven't even got there yet. I've had a privilege of being part of a beautiful church. I moved here 13 years ago with my wife. We said yes to a church plant in Melbourne. Found out we were pregnant, and that's what God does. As you step in faith, you learn the complexities of life along the way. I've got three beautiful girls you'll see running around here. Florin, who is 12, Luna, who is 9, and Valentine, who is the most confident girl you've ever met. She is 6, and she runs our family, like most youngest children do. And we moved here with the Hillsong Church plant, which is now multiple churches around Victoria, and have seen God do wild and wonderful things in our midst. And I love what we've seen God do, because we've seen people returning to Christ at Mass. We've seen people coming to encounter Him for the first time at Mass. We've seen churches planted in different positions to be light and hope. And I love what God has done. And then even in the last year, I've stepped into a new season where I'm working with Compassion Australia. Does anyone know Compassion? Compassion exists to see children released from poverty in Jesus' name. We work in the hardest, furthest parts of planet Earth in extreme poverty. And we do it through a model that is Christ-centered, church-based, and child-focused. And I'm telling you that because your church partners by sponsoring multiple children. And so I want to say thank you today for the work you're doing on the other side of the planet that you don't even realize what you're a part of. Bringing hope to communities. Bringing life and light through local church. Seeing generations change. And so we thank you for the part you're doing, the part you're playing on planet Earth. And I love it. Today's sermon, I want to stir some hope in you. I want to inspire some courage, infuse some faith, whatever faith I've got in me, I want to pour into your veins today. That we pursue the possibilities of God and step again into the faith space that He's calling us to. Matthew 19 verse 26 says this, with man it is impossible, but with God, what is it? All things are possible. With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I believe we're in a moment in history where we've seen some pretty phenomenal leadership things take place. I think we've seen the best of human ingenuity, the best of human strategy in the church world. We've seen some phenomenal leaders take place and see advancement of kingdom through leadership gifting and strategy. We've seen what man can do, and there's some phenomenal things across planet Earth. But I think right now in history is a moment where God's saying, hey, I'm building my church. I think now's the time when we partner with God who's building His church and is bringing about kingdom on planet Earth. And so I believe He's looking, like we heard in that offering message, for some people who are saying, I'm willing to be part of your miracle story. I'm going to step in and trust with faith that God's going to move in my life. Do we have any faith-filled people in the place today? That kind of people in Gateway Church. That's what I'm believing to stir. And you know what? My prayer is if there's been indecision trying to hold you back, that God would break that. If there's been doubt or disbelief crippling you from the calling that He has for you, if insecurity is trying to undermine or rob your confidence of His calling, my prayer today is that that would be broken by the power of the Spirit, and that you would step forward into the promise that God has for you as a community and individually. There's a moment. It feels like God's on the move. Is anyone else sensing it? People are flocking to the house of God. We're seeing miracles in crazy different ways. I had a friend just open a church the other day, and we're seeing miracles everywhere. He saw a building, a beautiful chapel in St. Kilda that said sold on it. They were looking for a place to hold church. And so he called the guy who built it, who bought it. They want to develop it for commercial use. And he said, hey, can we meet in here? He's got a building for $1 a year. God's showing up and doing things for the people of God to gather. And I just want to put vision in front of your heart to say, hey, God can move in miraculous ways. He wants people who can trust Him in it. And so today's story we're going to unpack is through 1 Samuel 14 verse 6. And it's a story of Jonathan and the armor bearer. And there's a lot of great people that stir faith in my heart. I love King David. I love so many of the leaders in the Bible. But this story is profound for me and the faith it stirs. So it'll come up on the screen, I believe. Before we read this together, I just want to ask this question. I wonder what miracles on the other side of your maybe. I wonder what God possibilities are on the other side of perhaps. And this is a powerful scripture for us to hear from heaven on today. Verse 6, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come. Let's go. Can someone say let's go in church today? Let's go. Let's go over to the outposts of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps, someone shout perhaps. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Hear this. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. And he says this, do all that you have in mind. His armor bearer said, go ahead, I'm with you, heart and soul. Isn't that faith goals right there? Isn't that faith goals? He's in a very complex, I'll unpack the context in a minute. He's in a complex scenario. But he goes, perhaps God's going to show up on my behalf. And then he says with confidence, nothing can hinder my God from saving, whether by many or few. That's faith goals right there. What about for a leadership community? Is faith goals right there? Is culture goals of the young armor bearer saying, hey, heart and soul, I'm with you. Now, I just want to speak that over this community. If God's put a word in this campus, in this church to move forward and advance and reach this region, I pray there's a heart and soul that goes, yeah, whatever you say, whatever God's put in your heart, pastors, I've got your back. Let's go after it. Let's believe for it. Let's go tackle this thing together. You see that word there, perhaps. There's a tension in the word perhaps. That's why I like this scripture so much. The definition of the word perhaps is to express uncertainty or possibility. Do you hear that tension? Perhaps there's an uncertainty, and we all know we've got our eyes wide open. We're aware of what's happening around the world. I think for the last 5 years, we've been in uncertain times. Does anyone agree with me? Uncertain times. And I believe that God's calling his people to live with faith, to step forward in faith despite uncertain times. These uncertain times we are living in here and now, even this week, are uncertain. But that word perhaps is also full of possibility. Possibility. I mean, that word perhaps actually inspires hope in my heart. The way that Jonathan says it, perhaps God will show up. The title of today's sermon is Perhaps God. Perhaps God. It's about pursuing God's possibility in times of uncertainty. Perhaps God. You know, when we think about faith, sometimes we think our mind goes to the other side. Like, perhaps what if it doesn't work? What if I step out in faith and fall flat on my face? Our mind sometimes goes to the wrong kind of what ifs. And if anything I do today, I pray that we stir the other kind of what if. But what if God did show up? But what if God does provide miraculously? But what if you do step out with that vision and dream he's put in your heart, or do that act of obedience? And what if God does show up in a miraculous way? If you do speak to that person about Jesus, if you do pray that prayer of healing, what if God does? Perhaps God wants to move in our midst. You see, human beings, we think we need certainty to have confidence. And so often when we get that sense of God stirring us to do something, we wait till we have certainty. It's human instinct. But the faith life calls us to take steps in uncertain times. And that's what the scripture unpacks for us. We know that we're going to live life in uncertain times. All of life is lived in between the promise, the prayer and the promise. We live in this middle ground, this messy middle. We know that we'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world, John 16. So maybe life's obstacles are actually just opportunities. Maybe we need to view this a little bit different. This scripture we're about to unpack is full of obstacles. And the context here is that Israel is in a really tough place. And I'll read the scripture in a second here, but we need to understand it's an unusual moment for the people of Israel. It's an unusual moment for their army. It's an unusual place they find themselves in. God was delivering Israel, yet they found themselves in the in-between. And there's two cliffs that they're stuck between, and they're wedged, not moving forwards and not moving backwards. Let's read the entire text and see what God has for us today. Verse 1, one day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Hey, you know, sometimes when you've got a God dream, you've got to be cautious of who you tell. It's a little side note of wisdom right there. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men. Among those were Ahijah, forgive my pronunciation here, it's not going to be great, who was wearing an ephod. He was there as a son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitab's son of Phinehas, I got that wrong for sure, the son of Eli, and the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass of that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. This is important. One cliff was called Bozez, the other was called Sina. Did you know that those words means shiny and thorny? So they're stuck in a hard place in an uncertain time between the shiny and the thorny. And if I can just, I just think we need to enhance this a little bit. Sometimes when we're in these moments, we can see things as overly positive, like the cliff shiny. Everything is super optimistic and we think it's all going to be perfect and we get overly optimistic that we're kind of blindsided to the reality. Or we could come over to the thorny cliff and live life over here and we just see everything as pessimistic, you know, We're just realists over here. I watched this happen in the pandemic where people are like, there's nothing wrong. I watched this happen throughout churches where there's nothing wrong. We're blind to it all. We're okay. Or over here, people are like, everything's wrong. And I think it's fascinating that Jonathan walks straight through the middle with a healthy perspective, eyes open to the challenges, but full of faith about what God might want to do. And so don't camp out on Mount Shiny. Don't camp out on Mount Thorny. Go straight through the middle to the promise of God with healthy perspective. Side notes are helpful in the scripture. Amen. Here we go. Verse 8. We just read this. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of these uncircumcised Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will show up on our behalf." And then what happens here, I'm going to paraphrase this because it's so much text. What happens here is he comes up with the world's worst plan you've ever seen. Literally the world's worst plan. He goes, Jonathan goes, look, and it doesn't say he's got a word from God. He's got faith in his heart about who God is, okay? And he decides, hey, this is my plan. If we go out and show ourselves to this army and they see us, and say, come up here and fight us, then that means God's going to give us the battle. Who thinks that's a good plan? Like military strategy. I'm just two of us are going to walk out in a valley. They've got the high ground. There's never been a worse plan in history. Okay, so if ever one of your leaders comes up with a bad plan, it's okay. God can still work through it in Jesus' name. It's okay. It's not about the plan. It's about the God leading the person, amen? And so the worst idea ever. And so what happens is they go, look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they're hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and to his armor bearer, come up here and I'll teach you a lesson. Kind of sounds like schoolyard bullying. Like, come over here and I'll teach you a lesson. Come up here and we'll teach you. So Jonathan and his armor bearer, they climb up. You've got to imagine this. I've got a picture here of what this region would have looked like. And not that one, the first one, if it's there. There's a valley. Yeah, this is the region. This is where they think this happened. Okay? And so these kind of mountains, when they say climbing up towards an army, it's vulnerable. They're climbing on their hands and their knees. They're climbing up with people saying, I'm going to teach you a lesson. So this is a true miracle that they got through, that they showed up. They ended up winning that battle against some 20 people, right? Which went on to win a greater battle, which was a significant moment for the people of Israel and the story of God. And so we're taking application from this lesson today. Have a look at that. Mount Shiny, Mount Thorny, and the way forwards into what God has promised us. You know, sometimes our geography, our landscape, our circumstances are not perfect. God's calling us forwards in faith. So for 5 minutes, I just want to take some time here to parallel the two different spirits that we see. We see Saul and we see Jonathan. They have the same circumstances. They're looking at the same problem, also the same possibility ahead of them, and both of them approach it in very different ways. And the reason we're doing this is because we want to catch a Jonathan spirit in this church. In this place today, we want to catch a Jonathan spirit. So the two postures, the same uncertainty. In verse 2, it said that Saul was staying on the outskirts. He was out of town. He was retreating. He was under a pomegranate tree, which is kind of cool. I'd love to sit under that. Whereas Jonathan, imagine this visual, climbing up this pitcher, climbing. He was using his hands and feet. He was had his armor bearer right beside him. So while Saul was sitting, waiting, indifferent, losing ground while he was standing still, frozen in fear, we see Jonathan advancing, active, climbing, responsive, taking ground and moving forward. He was fortified in his faith. And so today I want us to see this here. The first idea in this parallel is that Saul was fearful, hopeless, and resigned. Saul was kind of all out in this moment. And then we see Jonathan fearless, hopeful, and resolved. And I believe that's the kind of spirit we need to have as followers of Jesus. Fearless, hopeful, with some resolution about what God has called us to. You see, Saul was fearful. And we all get full of something. He was full of fear. If we're not careful in these uncertain times, we can let our concerns or our fears overshadow our faith. And that's a problem for us as people of God. We actually need to be people who are full of faith. The Bible talks about Saul as being significant. He was a man of stature. He was one of the biggest men in any room. Yet 1 Samuel 9 says he was small in his own eyes. And that's what happens when fear takes a hold of your heart. It begins to affect your mind and your self-confidence and your confidence in who God says that you are and what God has called you to. In that moment, Saul was fearful, not faithful. Saul felt hopeless. In that sense of hopelessness, it can feel like tomorrow won't be better than today. And if there's anyone in this place feeling a little hopeless, I want to tell you tomorrow is certainly better than today because we've got a God who stands in our future, who works everything together for the good of those who love. But Saul forgot this. He was resigned. He was stripped back. But Jonathan, however, was fearless. He understood that he didn't know the way forwards, but if he started stepping, he had a God who would show him. He was fearless. He knew that we live by faith, not by sight, as 2 Corinthians shows us. He remembered Joshua 1, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And it's that kind of faith in who God is that helps us not be fearful, but faithful. We can step into the unknown with faith, not because we know the plans or what's ahead, but we know the God who's leading us there. Perhaps God will show up in your life. Perhaps. And where's our confidence stand? Because God is mighty to save, whether by many or by few. He was confident in the God that was leading him. He's taking ground. He was hopeful. He was resolved. The second parallel I want to draw here is that while Saul had the presence of an army, some 600 scattered men, he had the absence of the Spirit. Well, Jonathan had the absence of an army. There was just two of them, but he had the presence of God's Spirit with him. Isn't that a cool thought right there? If we're going to catch a Jonathan spirit, it actually doesn't matter the numbers of people that are going with us. As a community here, if you believe that God's called you to reach a region for Jesus, it actually doesn't matter how many people in the room right here. It matters the potency of the faith. It matters that when I walked into this prayer meeting this morning, I'm telling you, there was potent faith in this room. It's the potency of the people and what God's doing. And while Saul had all these people, there were about some 600 men. We see in 1 Samuel 16 that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. That God's hand was off him. And it actually says that the priest there had the ephod, which is there to, in the presence of God, make decisions for the people. And he wasn't using it. And so we see both the priest and Saul under a pomegranate tree with the full 600 army doing nothing. You know what? Size and scale doesn't matter. If we don't have the presence and power of God, this actually shows us that God leads the way. He takes us forward. In your life, you don't need to have it all together. You step by faith, trusting the God who's leading. I love that song. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like you're surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Don't you reckon he would have sung that as he climbs up this mountain with his armor bearer? He's like, it might look like I'm surrounded by an army, but I'm actually surrounded by the presence of God. And I tell you that lyric so you can walk into your week this week, into your workplace that might be challenging right now, your university, your school, young people. It might seem like we're surrounded by opposition, by naysayers, by haters, people against the church. But hey, we're surrounded by the very presence and power of God. He's leading us. He's walking walking with us. We don't need an army of 600 people. We need God himself to show up. The third parallel I want to draw here before I give some practical thoughts about living this life out, the faith step. The third is this, that Saul was crippled by fear and uncertainty, whereas Jonathan passionately pursued the possibility of God. I think there's something profound for us to get a leap in our heart. What might God do with my life? What might God do? You see, God didn't distinctly give Jonathan a plan, but he knew that God wanted to protect and save his people. He knew that he had a plan. The whole tenor of scripture to this moment, the story of God's people had told him that there's actually going to be a future for our people. So I'm just going to step in faith and do the next thing. I'm just going to do the next right thing. I think it's Eugene Peterson who talks about discipleship being doing the next right thing. And in your life today, you might be like, I don't have the clearest God word, Dean. I don't actually know. And so maybe you're a little bit reluctant and sitting back in your faith. Well, hey, maybe tomorrow just do the next right thing. Pursue God's possibility. That might be just starting the morning in the Word, not on the Instagram. That might mean starting the morning in a prayer meeting like we had today, but in your own bedroom. That might mean telling someone about what God did in church on Sunday at your workplace. Just do the next right thing and see what door God might open up. And so take down these notes. Here's three different things about how we can live with this Jonathan spirit. Okay, you ready? Are we ready? You guys are awesome. I love this community. Number one, we step forwards in faith. We step forwards in faith. I recently had a birthday. I don't want to reveal my age, but it was a significant one. So it had a zero next to it. And I'm not 30. I'm not quite 50. So you can guess. And my friends thought it'd be fun. They kind of surprised me. I'm scared of heights. They booked me for skydiving. And I was a bit fearful, can I say? I was a bit fearful. But they said, Dean, it is one of the greatest experiences. Has anyone been skydiving here? You're crazy, crazy. I don't know. Do you like it? No, it was horrible. I know. Sheer exhilaration and the most fearful moment of my life. I like climbing mountains where there's a rock underneath me, you know? I like that stuff. But I remember that there was this moment. I'm playing it cool. There was six of us, say, for one, as a bloke. You just got to show up. If there's six other dudes doing it, I'm going to have to do it. Peer pressure still works, even at 40. And so I have this moment. We're up on the plane, and I'm loving it. It was actually over Byron Bay. So imagine just the most perfect day, no wind. I counted 12 whales that I watched on the flight up. So I'm feeling, this is cool. God's got me. This is a cool moment. And they're like, it's the greatest experience of your life. Skydiving is going to be amazing. And then the plane levels out. Did you have this feeling? My heart began to rush. And then the light comes on and the door opens. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I want to fly back down now. But I'll tell you what happened, right? They said, this will be fun. You just need to take the step. Now, the step for skydiving was literally leaning forwards. And if you've never done it, it's the most counterintuitive thing on planet Earth at 30,000 feet to lean forwards out of a plane. But I'll tell you, I'm so thankful I did. It just took a step. It just took the lean to experience. And I had to trust that this guy, tandem skydiver on my back, he was, for one, he had me strapped in. For two, he had a parachute that worked and he tested it all. I had to have high trust and high faith in that moment that, yes, it's not going to be just fearful. I'm going to have a rush. This is going to be a fun moment for me. You know, a silly little example, but that's what a faith life looks like. You actually, at some point, you say, I want to do this thing. At some point, you got to lean forwards at 30,000 feet. To experience the grace of God, to experience what's possible is actually that. And so for us as God's people, there might be this dream stirring in your heart. You need to step forwards in faith. With skydiving, I had trust the parachute's going to work, that they knew what they were doing, and it's okay. With the faith life, we trust the Word of God. We trust the nature and the character of God who's leading us, but you can't just sit still. You can't sit stagnant still. The faith life requires steps. With Abraham, God said, I'll lead you to the land that I will show you. Do you know how you get to that land? It's not by helicoptering there. It's step-by-step kind of faith, and this is what my family's in a season of right now. We've taken leaps of faith before. We've planted churches. We've moved cities. I've moved cities multiple times for the call of God on my life. And I tell you, we're in another season where we're taking steps, and we're doing it with our children. Hey, if you're in this place today and you think like, hey, how do I ever go plant a church? How do I ever see this ministry that's in my heart birth? How do I ever see this vision for a business that I feel God's given me happen? It's not a leap. It actually starts with your first step. For Jonathan through this valley, he didn't just run up the hill and win the battle. He had to step with his armor bearer. And I wonder at what point they go, this is not a great plan. What, we're just going to shout out, come fight us? Like, at what point do they go, I'm not sure we got the right ideas? Sometimes ministry feels like that. I'm not sure I've got the best strategy to reach Geelong for Jesus. I'm not sure. Doubt can creep in. But I tell you, when we go, God's ahead of us, and God cares more about the people of Geelong than I do, and God said he would build my church, and hey, he put this vision in my heart. He gave me this dream for a business. He gave me hope to see my family saved. If God's done it, then we can step with confidence in moments of uncertainty. So hey, we need to step forwards in faith. Faith requires a step. It requires an action. It requires us to take a step in the middle of uncertain times. That is what faith did. Just start walking. My encouragement for you today, make it tactile. Write something down in your notes today that when I talk about faith and I talk about this, it might be for your family, it might be for your workplace, it might be for this church. Write something down and then go, what step do I need to take in my life to be stepping into the promises of God? That step of faith is pursuing God's perhaps. It's moving on a maybe. 2 Corinthians says this. I did that one already. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We don't need to live in fear. We can step in faith. He's holding us. He's leading us. One step of faith, not based in our confidence of flesh, but in the confidence of our God. One step of faith, not in the assurance of what the outcome will be. We often don't see the full picture in faith space, but assured of the nature and the character of God. One step of faith that may feel uncertain of what's to come, but we can be certain of the one who's leading us. Do you believe that today? Let's step into that faith space as a church. Let's step into it as your family. Step into it in your spiritual journey. Step into that space where you're dependent on him. The second thought is this: we live with godly confidence amidst life's uncertainty. It was the subtitle of the text, but it deserves a moment to flesh this out. The word perhaps changed everything for Jonathan. He had a firm assurance and the confidence in God. It was linked, the perhaps linked to, I know my God will bring victory, whether by many or by few. He will save us. So I wonder when we have these moments of maybe God will show up, perhaps God will move, it's actually tied to the truth of who God is. It's anchored to something. And I believe we gotta live our life that way. Our hope ties our hearts to the future. I grew up water skiing. It's like our hope ties ourselves to that boat that is God driving us forward. That's what hope does. It's held taut by hope is what our faith is. Believing what's ahead is better than our current reality. I love that. Psalm 62 verse 5 says, yes, my soul will find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Where does our hope come from? Him. Truly, he is my rock and he is my salvation and he is my fortress and I will not be shaken. We can live unshaken in shaking times because of what our rock is founded in. And so if we can put that rock climbing picture up, this is what it would have looked like practically for someone climbing up. They would have been clinging to the rock. They would have been hanging on the wall. They would have been scaling this wall, reminding themselves of who God is. And I want to put that picture in your mind as you go into Monday, into Tuesday, because that's a visual of what I believe grabbing hope looks like. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Who can stand against the Lord God Almighty? When you step into the faith space, you need to grab on to the promises of God. You need to take hold of it. You need to cling to it. It's like climbing up that mountain. I mean, two people against an army, they would have been like, I know my God is greater. I know my God has a plan. And for you in your life, it's time to start confessing the promises of God. Start believing it. Start saying it until it's innate. It's in you. We anchor ourselves to who He is. Live with godly confidence amidst uncertain times. And the third thought, how do we have a step of faith? How do we live in this perhaps space? The third is this. We anchor our hope to the person and the promise of Jesus. If I had a 2.0 to this message, we'd unpack Hebrews 6, one of my favorite scriptures. Hebrews 6, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Our hope is firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtains, where the forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become the high priest. So what we anchor our hope to is unbelievably important. Remember how we started this? What's impossible with man is possible with God. And too often we anchor our hope to man's ability. In church world, we think about what can I do in my own strength and my own power. Too often we think about human strategy, how it could lead the church forward. But I believe there's great men and women of God who bought land in regional Geelong, and now there's whole suburbs being built around this place because they had faith to see. They had prophetic vision to see what could become. I believe that we need to do this. We need to see with prophetic vision. We anchor it in the promises and the person of God. Perhaps, someone say perhaps. Perhaps the Lord will act on your behalf today. Why? Because nothing can hinder the Lord. Perhaps God can show up in your marriage today. Why? Because nothing can hinder the Lord. Perhaps God will show up in your business in these tough financial circumstances. Why? Because nothing, someone say nothing, nothing can hinder the Lord. He is here to bless you, to pour out His favor upon you. He's here to bring hope to your heart and faith for your life. He wants to grace you for everything that He has called you to. We are like this last picture. It's a picture of what a rock anchor looks like. And it actually gets into the very face of the rock. For rock climbers, they know what this is. And you know, more than just holding on to the hope, we need to absolutely anchor ourselves to the person of Jesus Christ. He is our rock. As we step into this calling that He has for us, as we pursue the possibilities of God for yourself, for your family, for this church, for this region, we need to cling to the rock that is higher. Then we need to cling to Jesus, to the person and to the promises of God. I love to finish by praying, but I just want to stir one more time. You don't have to have the whole picture to step out in faith. Our confidence isn't based on what we know, it's on who we know. We don't need the whole picture to walk in faith. We need a dream in our heart. We need to know who God is and whose we are and what He's calling us to. And He's bringing about kingdom come to planet Earth. And He wants a group of people like you and I to partner with His kingdom vision, to bring light, life, and hope. Can we? There's one more group of people I'd love the honor of praying with. And you may be new or visiting and not sure what you've walked into. You may be on a faith journey of your own. The single greatest, perhaps, you could ever step into a faith step, which is perhaps God could meet a person like me. A sinner, a wayward, broken person, perhaps God would love someone like me. Oh, friend, He does. He does. With every head bowed and every eye closed and Christians praying, you may have wandered into church today unsure of your relational standing with God. You may not even be sure. You may be uncertain about this whole church thing. But friend, I can tell you one thing. You were created for a relationship with God. And it was actually sin got in the way of a perfect relationship with God and His humanity. But hey, the good news is that God sent His Son. knowing our sin, knowing our failings, he sent Jesus as a perfect sacrificial lamb to pay and atone for all of our wrongdoings. The Bible says while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. And if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, we too can encounter that salvation. We can be freed. We can step into a life of purpose, grace, freedom, and into perfect relationship with our Heavenly Father. If you need to receive salvation in this place, if you want to declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and surrender your heart and your ways to Him, I'm just going to ask you across this room with no one looking, just to place your hand on your heart. If you want to pray this prayer of salvation, we're going to pray a simple prayer of inviting Jesus into our heart to become Lord. To be Lord means to let Him lead your life. I see people across this room even now. We're going to pray a prayer all together. Why don't we pray this? Heavenly Father, I thank You that You love me. I thank You that You're for me. I thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus to die for me, to make me clean, yet be raised again so that I could find life in You. Forgive me of my past. Give me a brand new start and a hope for tomorrow. Help me live every day with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.